Very good morning to all. Yeah, good morning. Oh, by the way, you know, I got a couple of emails and some comments, actually, from last Sunday's sermon. And they were positive. Isn't that nice? So thank you. I appreciate that. Now, before we read from 1 John chapter 4, so that's where we're going. And, we have that picture, if you want to put that up there, our theme right now. Yeah, that you may know, lessons from 1 John. And we're getting near the end, but we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. But before I get there, I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons John wrote this letter is that he wanted to warn his readers about false teachers. In John's day, it was just starting, and it would develop even more after he went home to be with the Lord. But scholars pretty much all agree that the main error that John is trying to correct with this letter is the error that became known as Gnosticism. And I think, there it is. Really, you can even see the spelling of it if you want to write that down. And this new philosophy, and it began to gain ground here near the end of the first century. And John is writing now as a very old man. But he could see it coming on the horizon. Well, actually, it was the Holy Spirit who revealed to him, let him know this was coming, this false teaching. And the Holy Spirit wants to let us know about it as well. I have an online commentary at home. I use it from time to time. It's called Preaching the Word Commentary. I'm borrowing a little bit from it here. But the word Gnosticism, I don't know if you saw that on the slide, it comes from a Greek word. The Greek word is gnosis, and it's G-N-O-S-I-S. And gnosis means knowledge. So in Greek, the G is silent, and in English, the K is silent. And it was a combination of pagan mysticism and Greek philosophy. Gnosticism taught that the way of salvation was through secret, superior knowledge granted only to the initiated, right? So like many cults in our day, you have to be one of us to really understand what is true, right? I was having breakfast with a friend of mine. He was actually out here visiting the church, and he's not a believer, but he said, you know, I want you to know I really enjoyed being there that Sunday. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I could just tell there was a love among the people there. He said, no, it was really, I really enjoyed it. And I was thinking, because I was leaving Country Boy Family Restaurant. They did not pay for this ad. But I was leaving the restaurant. And it actually occurred to me, I was there waiting for the light to change or whatever, and I thought, yeah, he's right. We've got a really loving place here, a nice, close community. But we're not a cult. Isn't that a nice thing to think about? We're not a cult. That was a bonus. Second, first of all, yes, this secret knowledge, you know, yeah. You really have to be part of us. And I was just thinking to myself, hey, we've already prayed this morning for St. James Lutheran. We prayed for Rosebank BIC and look at people all over the world on this Lord's Day Sunday. You don't have to come here to get the truth. I hope you get the truth when you come here. But no, there's people all over in different walks of life, and we're all different societies and different cultures and different colors, different shapes and sizes. We worship in different ways, but we're all gathered because of our common love for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Now, Gnostics considered that the spirit was good, but that all physical matter was evil. So your soul, that's good. Your body, that's evil. And since it's evil, doesn't really matter. You can do whatever you want with your body. So Gnosticism led to something called licentiousness. There's a Bible word for you. It's a word that means to live any way you want. And licentiousness, as the name implies, it really meant a license to sin. Now, this false teaching known as Gnosticism, it also led to some very wrong beliefs, particularly the ones that pertain to Jesus. I mean, if the body is evil, he could not have taken on a body, right? He couldn't come in the flesh. In fact, there was a belief that there was Jesus, and then there was some sort of spirit known as the Christ, and the Christ came on him at his baptism, and then the Christ left before he was crucified. And those errors about Jesus, well, you know what? I'm going to save that. I was looking in that commentary, and I thought, oh, that's going to help out a lot when we get to 1 John chapter 5. That'll really help explain a lot of what John is getting into in that final chapter. But when we think about it, when it comes to having a license to sin, we have all kinds of Gnostics in our society today, don't we? I mean, they wouldn't call themselves that, but they fit the description. And John wants us, you and I, to fight against these errors. They had already begun to creep into the churches of his day, and they are at work in our day as well. So knowing and making a distinction between what is actually from God's Spirit compared to that which is from the spirit of the world, that which comes from false teachings, even false spirits. Remember, the Bible talked a couple times about doctrines of demons. So discerning what is of God and what is not remains very important for us as we navigate our Christian life here in the generation we find ourselves in. It's always been this way, and I wonder if it's maybe even becoming more important all the time. Okay, like I say, I'll have more to tell you when we get to chapter 5, maybe in a couple of Sundays, but right now, we're going to look at John chapter 4. And then I realize I'm only going to make it through the first 6 verses, but here we go. John chapter 4, he says, dear friends, or 1 John chapter 4, I should say. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Right? He is the God-man, fully human but fully divine. So every spirit that acknowledges that is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And as we learned earlier, John spoke about that spirit of Antichrist. That's here. And then he also spoke of that coming one that we call the Antichrist, false Christ, against Christ. Not sure if that person is already in the world or not, but you got to kind of wonder sometimes. Now he said, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. That's where we get those words, right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. It's amazing how many times I've been thinking about those song lyrics from my friend Buddy Green that I shared with you back a few Sundays ago. Remember that song? How in the world are you going to know when a wolf comes in like a lamb, telling you the wrong way, saying it's the right way? How are you going to understand? Keep your head in the Word and your heart in the light. I've been thinking about that. Okay, if your Christian life consists only in what you do on a Sunday, then you really have no Christian life at all. Oh, isn't that a harsh thing to say? Well, someone had to tell you, might as well be me. But it's true, isn't it? Now, we never make a contest out of this sort of thing. It's not a competition. We don't compare ourselves with other people to see who's more spiritual. But daily, especially if you can get it daily, work to develop the habit of feeding yourself on a regular, consistent basis on these words that we find here in the Bible. Spend some time with them. Establish and maintain a close personal relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through meditating on His Word. Make it a 7-day-a-week lifestyle. Now, some days are going to be better than others. Sometimes you wonder if you have any spiritual life in you at all. But keep being a follower of Jesus Christ. Keep returning. Keep your head in the Word, your heart in the light. Maintain that relationship. Oswald Chambers, I quote him a lot, he once said, this idea of maintaining a relationship with God, he said, it's all God asks us to look after. And yet, it's the one thing the devil keeps trying to attack. Isn't that true? Right? You can find all kinds of time for other things, but or when I get reading my Bible, my mind is wandering. That's the one somebody wants to keep us from. And when I first read this portion of chapter 4, you know, to prepare to come up with something interesting to say for this sermon, another portion of the Bible came immediately to my mind, and it's such an important couple of verses to remember. And I'm thinking of the opening lines in the letter to the Hebrews. So I'm just going to look at a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 1. We'll put them on the screen too, but I don't know. Do you like to do any underlining or highlighting in your Bible? This is one you got to make sure you make it yellow or whatever color you like to use, or stick a pencil mark or something on there. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And these need to be remembered. They need to be kept in mind. Now, here's how the letter begins. Notice how it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom also He made the universe. That's an amazing statement right there. But notice that in the past, God spoke to the prophets. Today, He speaks through His Son. And in that upper room there, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would even reveal to us what He has to say. We're living in a day, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but we're living in a day when more and more people are now calling themselves apostles, calling themselves prophets. I was doing some research. There's a movement out there called the New Apostolic Reformation. You can look it up on Google. It's gaining ground all over the world, and it's not biblical. The New Apostolic Reformation, you can look up NAR. It's the belief that over the past 40 years or so, God has begun restoring prophets and apostles as the only ones qualified now to lead and build the church, so it can fulfill its commission. And that commission, you know, it's not exactly the Great Commission that Jesus left us with. This commission includes cultural and political control. One article I read goes so far as to say there's a popular belief out there that as the church unifies behind these modern-day apostles, then these leaders will develop even greater and greater supernatural powers. Signs that will encourage a massive wave of converts to Christianity. Now, of course, we want to see converts. Oh, and by the way, these apostles are also destined to be recipients of a great wealth transfer in the end times. And remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and, you know, the people gave them their gold and silver and everything, you know. Well, they take those verses now and say, that's going to happen again. And this great transfer of wealth will be what will enable the church to establish God's kingdom on earth. In other words, God needs the money. Is that what they're saying? Apparently. The one who owns the cattle on the thousand hills? No, he's broke. Won't be until we get this wealth transfer. Then we can do it. And the NAR teaches that Christians are to retake the control of the earth, the dominion we lost in the fall. Christians are to dominate government, arts, finances, education, religion, family, media. Not just to influence, right? Jesus said we're to be salt, we're to be light, we're to add flavor, but to actually take control. Take the whole box of Windsor salt and just pour it over everything. Now, of course, we should be involved in our culture. We vote, we lobby according to our convictions. Our business practices, yes, they should always be honest. We should always be honest, above board. We strive for excellence in everything we do. But in John 18 and verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, yeah, if he was here today, how many of these people would say, no, you're not going to crucify Christ. He's Jesus. We're going to protect him. No, no. Jesus says, my kingdom is from another place. Now, in these kinds of false teachings, and like everything that is just a little twisted, okay, there is some basis in Scripture. There's some things that are true, sure, but it's all being carried much farther than the Bible intends. For instance, Ephesians 4. That's where we refer to spiritual gifts, and it talks about people in those gifts. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But Paul said it wasn't so we could take back control of the earth. No, it was for equipping people for works of service. Remember, John said some people are going to listen to our message, other people won't. And so we put the message out there, and those who are, yeah, and you can tell when you're talking to your friends and they go, oh, yeah, that sounds, yeah, I want to learn more about that. That's us, regular folks, equipping people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And until we reach unity, unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love as each part does its work. And yeah, we're to be engaged in spiritual warfare. You betcha. We bring evidence that the kingdom of God is at work wherever we go. We bring that aroma of Christ. But we are not bringing in the kingdom. He is. In the past, under the old covenant, the prophets, people like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zechariah, they spoke the words of God to the people. Thus saith the Lord. Now those Old Testament prophets, I don't know, I don't get the impression they were wealthy. Do you? I don't think of them as living in any of the earth's luxuries. I was just thinking, I think it was it Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? Didn't God say, hey, I want you to lie around with no clothes on and cook your food over dung? Isn't that kind of beneath most of us today? And you know, if a prophet was proven to be false, then it was the responsibility of the people to end their life. They died if they gave a word that wasn't true. Do you know how many extra funerals we'd have to have in our day if we held any of today's so-called prophets to the same biblical standard? I was thinking at the end of 2019, you could look it up all over YouTube, right? 2020, the year of vision. Isn't that clever? Now, God's not into cute things, but we are. 2020 vision. Yes, God's going to do amazing things. Everything's going to be wonderful. God's going to unleash the great. Nobody got the memo about the pandemic. Do you notice that? Nobody said, hold on a second. You know, we got a lot of seniors. We better look after them because, especially in certain seniors' homes, we're going to lose them by the thousands in 2020. Nobody said that. No, their words are just a little vague and always positive. It's kind of like, well, it reminds me of a fortune teller, right? Go to a fortune teller and they say, oh, I see a nice lifeline on your palm. That's a long one. Oh, I see good things for you. That'll be $10. You end up paying for what you want to hear. Now, again, not that God doesn't still speak, but according to the New Testament, today, and here's why I'm getting into all this, today, when somebody says, you know, I believe God is leading me in a particular direction. Now, too often in our day, our tendency is, hey, God told me. God told me, who are you to speak anything against me? I heard from God. Who are you to question? And then we look for confirmations. You know what we do? We find people who agree with us. Right? And if you don't agree, oh, sorry, can't listen to you. I don't receive that. That negative talk will spoil my chances of receiving this blessing. That is witchcraft. That is superstition. That's not of God. Read it in 1 Corinthians 14 sometimes. Now, by the way, when you read 1 Corinthians 14, church services were very different in the first century. I would love to be able to get some of that back. Let's just say it's something rolling around in my mind. Well, this idea of people just lining up to hear somebody drone on for an hour and a half. No, that's been around for a few hundred years. But in the first century, it was something a little different, a little more electric. Paul says when you come together, maybe somebody has a word. Maybe somebody has a revelation. What does he say we do with those? Oh, you all get in line because the prophet has spoken. No, no. Paul says the very same thing John says here. In 1 Corinthians 14, you look it up, but Paul says, each of you should weigh what is being said. John says, test the spirits. What do you mean, test the spirits? I'm a prophet, don't you know? God told me. If he's not speaking to, I think I even remember one time, a fellow who said, listen, if God doesn't speak to the pastor, who's he going to talk to? Now, remember the anointing John told us about in this letter? He said, you all have that. We are all part of that priesthood of believers. We all have access to the same Spirit. So under the old covenant, the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. Here's what God says. But the New Testament is very, very clear. We are to discern God's will together in a community of brothers and sisters who are all bearers of the image of the Son of God by the Holy Spirit. We discern what the Spirit is saying. We test everything by this word, this truth. We might find it back in the Old Testament, but if we can't find it in the New Covenant, hang on. Greater is he that is in you. His Spirit, his anointing will continue to lead us. I was thinking there's kind of a safeguard in being in a group like this, isn't there? A tight-knit group where, well, like my friend said, I could tell there's love in that room. That's a safeguard to be among people, not who just think the same way you do. Wouldn't that be boring? But but who are willing, and willing to tell you the truth too. I've been in churches, you know, where meetings in the parking lot came after whatever meeting. You know, oh, I know the pastor said that on Sunday, but no, here's what you're really supposed to believe. No. Now, I don't ever want to put any hindrances. I don't ever want to quench the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to put out the fire. I want to listen to what he has to say to us. But when you or I believe that we've heard from God, because he does still speak today. But when you discern something he's saying to you, if I do that, we need to find not just people, okay, we used to call them yes men, right? Not just the ones who will only say what your itching ears want to hear. No, but you want to find two, maybe three trusted Christian brothers and sisters. Go to them with that word. Let them help you test to see if what you believe you heard, did you actually hear it? That's how God speaks in these days. And again, it's not that people cannot prophesy, but Jesus himself said it. John the Baptist was the last of those Old Testament style prophets. He said it in Luke 16, and I think we have Matthew 11, 13 to put up here. He said, all the prophets in the law, they prophesied until John. He brought in something new. I mean, you think about it, it was probably easier in some ways maybe just to have, if we could just have someone come up to the front and tell us everything God's saying. No, we are all priests. Because, all right, I'll state the most obvious thing. I'm not that infallible. You know that. I may not have heard from God. You may not have heard from the Lord. And we need to be able to humbly admit that. It's sadly lacking, but one of the biggest things we need is humility. Too many are clamoring to be the greatest. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, what are you to be? Servant of all. Okay, I strongly believe this may be the closest I get to prophesying this morning. When you look through the teachings of Jesus, as you notice the signs of the times, he often spoke in opposites. In fact, John does quite a bit here in this 1 John letter. Remember, he spoke about the darkness and the light. In his parables, remember, there was the wheat and the weeds. And they were all to be growing up together. And only God was the one who could pluck up the weeds. People ask me, do you think the world is getting worse or is the world getting better? And the answer is yes. It's both, isn't it? I was thinking Charles Dickens in the opening lines of his book, A Tale of Two Cities. He said, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Same today. The scriptures seem to indicate that as we get closer to the return of Christ, we can expect, on the one hand, great outpourings of his Spirit. I'm going to pour my Spirit on all people, he said, men, women, sons, daughters. God does what he wants to, doesn't he? There will be revivals, awakenings, signs. I was looking in Faith Today magazine this week. There's an Iranian Christian church in Vancouver. They baptized 130 people in one day. Amen. It took them 3 hours to do it. Could you imagine having that kind of a baptism service? Took them 3 hours. So yeah, people will turn to the Lord. Now we won't always see it here in North America, I wonder sometimes, although Vancouver, man, they're rejoicing. But we know it's happening somewhere in the world, right? However, on the other hand, there will be a time of deception, a time of falling away, false teachers, an increase, not only of false teachers, but an increase of false miracles. Yep. Signs and wonders that are not from God at all. We just assume they are because they're spectacular. No, may not be. There are those who are walking in darkness, and there are those who are walking in the light. And it's going to continue to be that way until the harvest at the end of the age. You and I, we placed our faith and trust in Jesus, the one who is in us, and that one really is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, I'm not about to tell you that everything I'm saying is correct. I mean, may I never say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't question me, I'm the pastor. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? If I ever do that, just, I give you permission to smack me on the side of the head. Of course, not while I'm wearing this thing, though, you'll probably break my hearing aid. But anyway, no, I mean, sometimes I can be quite out to lunch, trust me. But generally speaking, whoever knows God listens. Okay? Whoever knows God listens to you, even to me. And when you're speaking with them, you can tell, you know, someone wants to draw a little bit closer to God. And then there are those who are looking at their watch and wishing they were somewhere else. And at the risk of doing that, let me close this morning. The spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. It shows in the way we live. A friend of mine posted this on social media this week. I think I've said it before. You know, whenever you do a series on something, you just look for everything you can. You scroll away whatever you can find, you know, to make a sermon. And I told her, I said, this is going to make a good addition to this sermon today. Comes from one of my favorite writers, author unknown. Some of the best stuff written by, and now, okay, you won't, can you see, can you read that? Yeah, okay, yeah, I got to get my cataracts done, so I can, okay. But it goes like this. At the end of life, what really matters is not what we bought, but what we built. Not what we got, but what we shared. Not our competence, but our character. Not our success, but our significance. Live a life that matters. Live a life of love. Aren't those good words? Yeah. Thank you, author unknown, whoever you were. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We need to discern it, these days especially. These days especially, and I think it's going to become even more important that we keep our hearts in the light, keep our heads in this word. Let us be those who desire most of all to know the truth, for it's the truth that will set us free. Bless everybody here today, those who are out there on Zoom as well. Father, those who are maybe away, Lord, I think it's such a busy time of year, and think of some of the students going back to school and all those things. Father, may you have your way in our lives. Have your way. Maybe that's the best prayer I can pray. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.